McLeod. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Jim. So last night, the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21. Dolphins put up a pretty good fight in this one, but the Bills go to 3-0. Dolphins go to 0-3. Your thoughts?
It was probably a good game for both teams. The Bills win. They win, you know, by a good margin. They played well, but, you know, you could tell it wasn't one of those games where they're just all crazy and fired up. You know, it was a professional win. They did what they needed to do. Didn't look like they suffered any major injuries. They got the ball in a lot of different hands. That was a good professional win. And the Dolphins, they didn't embarrass themselves. And after last week, where they did embarrass themselves, they proved that they can compete with a good team. Might be the best team in the NFL and might be the toughest place to play in the NFL. And the Dolphins hung in there and had a chance late. Tua, I just think there's a ceiling on how good he can be. You know, he does some things well. He gets the ball out quickly. He's got tons of talent around him, but he seems to make the killing mistake. And I just don't think he's the future, and they've invested so much in him. But they don't have any other choice right now. They need him just to play better and give them a better chance to win in close games.
Jim, so the Vikings are going to play the Bengals on Sunday. Looking at the injury report, it's a bit telling. And the one that jumps out is Christian Derisaw, who was a full participant on Wednesday. He did not practice yesterday. Is he going to miss another game?
It's possible. There were some positive developments on the injury report. It looks like Van Ginkle is trending the right way. It looks like Donovan Jackson's trending the right way. Jonathan Grenard was a full participant, which is a great thing. But the concerns are Derisaw, full practice Wednesday, no practice Thursday. That doesn't seem, you know, again, this is injury stuff, and anything they do on Sunday could be surprise the heck out of us, but it doesn't look good. And Ryan Kelly still in concussion protocol. Those are the big concerns. You know, you got a quarterback learning the system, and he's going to need all the protection he can get. And you also have Josh Oliver, the best non-offensive lineman blocker, who's limited. I would guess he's going to play, but, you know, still a lot of people were limited or did not practice.
Jim, the Bengals have not been a good defense. Could they just have success running the ball with Jordan Mason in this game?
Well, I would just take the word just out of there. I don't think they're going to beat a Bengals offense. The Bengals, you know, Browning might throw three interceptions, but he could throw three interceptions and still put up 30 points. You know, things are going to happen when he's out there. So I don't think you can just go in and say, oh, we're going to run the ball up the middle and we'll win 12-11 or something like that. That's not the way this offense works. Would they like to get the running game going? Yes. Would they love it if, you know, Jordan Mason runs for 120 yards on 30 carries? Yes. You're still going to have to convert some third downs, and you still might have to throw to get the ball in the end zone. You're still going to have to throw to get, you know, to score more than 20 points. So I don't think it's just getting the running game going. I think it's getting the running game going in a way that will help the passing game.
Carson Wentz, what are his strengths?
Well, he's a big, strong guy. He is a talent. He has a very good arm. He, you know, at least in his past iterations, was a good runner. He's kind of built like the prototypical quarterback. Size, strength, arm strength, arm talent, running ability, scrambling ability. But we just don't know what this iteration is like. You know, we don't know if this is a shell of his former self. This is a guy who we don't know how well or how hard he worked in the offseason. We don't know how quickly he's going to adapt to that. I mean, everything's a mystery. I mean, you know, I said it on our Viking Update podcast. You know, the rational part of my brain thinks this could be a disaster. The part of my brain that isn't completely irrational but remembers covering so many Vikings teams where somebody came on as a surprise, whether it's Case Keenum or Wade Wilson or Randall Cunningham as a backup and took this team someplace. I have a funny feeling he's going to play well. You know, I just have a funny feeling that this is kind of the tipping point for his career. He could be out of the league or he could be a starting quarterback by next year, depending on how he plays here. So I have a funny feeling he's going to play well. We'll see, though. That's just a dumb guess.
One of the things that we've definitely seen with Kevin O'Connell is that he's been able to seemingly get the most out of veteran quarterbacks. Sam Darnold's a great example from last year. What do you and Daniel Jones, maybe he picked up some things because he's off to a good start this year. Carson Wentz, he's only been there for about a month, maybe even less than a month. I mean, is that enough of an impact that we could see a big turnaround here for Wentz?
Possible. Listen, Kevin O'Connell obviously is very good at what he does. And you listed all the and he even got Josh Dobbs to play well for a game or two. I don't know if it's the same as like Sam Darnold or if this is a completely different thing. I just don't know. I think the key for Kevin is going to be, listen, smart offensive coaches, creative offensive coaches, they kind of have a chip in their brain where they don't want to just win. They also want to win in a very impressive way. You know, they want to scheme things that really bamboozle defenses, that leave people wide open. You know, they love that aspect of it. So I think with Wentz, the question is, in a short period of time, can O'Connell find the right level of complexity for him where, you know, you're getting to use a lot of the playbook, but you're not confusing Wentz. You're not, you know, you're not putting him in a situation where he's going to make a big mistake. I think that's going to, and listen, he's done it. He did it short term with Josh Dobbs. He did it over in one off season with Sam Darnold. Seems to have had a positive effect on Daniel Jones, although I think we have to give the Colts more credit in that regard. But it's just a different set of circumstances this time.
Jim, some other things going on. The Lynx are going to watch tonight to see what happens between Phoenix and New York. The winner of that game in Phoenix will play the Lynx on Sunday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, be really interesting if Breanna Stewart is better in her second game back after a knee injury scare. Phoenix looks like the more physical team. Jonquel Jones, though, is still a very good player. I mean, the Liberty still have their core players on the championship team. They just haven't had a great season, and now Stewart hurt. I just kind of like Phoenix the way they're playing right now, especially if they can get Satu Sabally playing well. She makes a big difference. She's not always great, but when she's good, she can really be a dominant player. They've got Kalia Copper, who was a champion with Chicago. Alyssa Thomas, who's been one of the best players in the world for a long time. They have Duana Bonner coming off the bench, who's still effective. They're just a hard team to play against. So I think both emotionally and practically, the Lynx should be pulling for New York.
Jim, there's been some more talk about Kirill Kaprizov and maybe negotiating with the Wild to hopefully come up with a long-term contract. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, he's here. He's in camp, and he's not saying anything inflammatory. So I think those are good signs. Negotiations are, of course, going to continue. I'm sure there's a number that if the Wild offered it, Kaprizov's camp would take it. Question is, are they willing to offer that number? Are they willing to make, you know, someone who's never won a championship, who hasn't had playoff success, who isn't a scoring leader, isn't an assistant leader. He's a very good player. He's an excellent player, but he's not face of the league. Can you make that guy by far the highest paid player? And can you make that guy by far the highest paid player and build a roster around him? That would seem to be difficult. But, you know, speculating about negotiations is always dangerous because they're always one phone call away from getting something done.
Jim, one of the things that we talked about, as soon as it came out that he turned down a big contract, was that maybe he doesn't want to play here. Are we starting to feel like maybe he still is okay playing here? It's just the dollar amount that they didn't get to?
I don't think we know. I really don't. And, you know, look at it from, and Kaprizov's agent is thought to be a real difficult guy to negotiate with. So if you look at it from their perspective, if what they want is a trade, well, they don't want to make Kaprizov look like a malcontent. They would like that to kind of be, you know, they would like that to be something of a quieter process than, okay, Kaprizov is whining and he wants out of Minnesota. So, they're going to try to couch that and massage that in a way that he doesn't look bad. If what they want is more money, well, they're not going to admit that. They're going to want the leverage of him potentially asking for a trade hanging over the heads of the negotiation. So, you know, so many things we talk about in this realm. I mean, we don't know what their true motivations are. We just don't. We don't know if he really wants to stay. He's going to take an offer at some point, or if he really wants out and all this is just posturing. We just don't know that.
Jim, the Twins got four games with the Guardians this weekend, including tonight. Pablo Lopez will pitch this evening. Some other baseball news is Clayton Kershaw is announced that he is going to retire. He's got his last start. It looks like regular season start taking place tonight. Your thoughts on Kershaw's career?
Wonderful career. And he's kind of hung in there the last few years where it felt like he was edging toward retirement for quite a while, and he just kept on pitching. Kind of did everything you would want to do in a career, you know. I haven't really looked at him closely in terms of Hall of Fame eligibility, but, you know, you look at his career, I mean, 222 wins in this era is very impressive. 222 wins, 96 losses. Wins and losses are not always a great indicator of Major League pitching success because you have to have a good team around you, all that stuff. But still very impressive. His career ERA, 2.54. That's really impressive. So, you know, strikeout to walk ratio is excellent. His whip is excellent. His WAR is very good. So, you know, on Baseball Reference, they always have kind of a comparison spot at the bottom of everybody's statistical profile. You know, if they're a really good player, comparing them to Hall of Fame players, and I will have to look up that and just kind of see if, you know, where he ranks and all that. I think he's going to be right there. I think he's right there with Hall of Fame parameters. I think he's got a real chance to get in.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Let's see. We have the Viking Update show up. We have Jeff Diamond's Vikings NFL Insider with the former Vikings general manager. This week we have Dawn Mitchell with Emily Liker, the Star Tribune Vikings writer, and also Leah B. Olson, our Lynx analyst. And we have Russo on hockey, Chin Music with Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal will be out this morning. Some interesting stuff about ownership, some interesting stuff about young hitters, some interesting stuff about the Twins' decision-making process and the poll ads and how they're running that thing right now. I would check that show out as well. Rosen Sports Monday, Fantasy Huddle with Kevin Gorgon, Ryan Shaver, High School Football with Ryan Shaver. Randy Shaver. I always use his son's name. And everything's at TalkNorth.com.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jim. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. News is next.